All right.
Do we go? Hello, everybody. Oh, my gosh. We're podcasting today again, Adam. I'm really excited about this one. We're going over everyone's favorite thing in the whole wide world, which is cardio. Everyone loves cardio, right? Especially you, Adam. I know you are such an avid cardio enthusiast. You go to bed so excited because when you wake up, you're going to do cardio in the morning. You live and breathe and sleep cardio. Am I right?
I can't wait for the cardio. I mean, cardio is like my birthday. It comes once a year. Actually, I hate that I'm bad at cardio because I kind of set an example, but I'm so bad at cardio that I was on like Anya FaceTime me the other day and I was like doing cardio and she like, I answered the phone and she's like, are you doing cardio? I'm so proud of you. If you're proud of me, that's like I really need to do more cardio. So
okay. I'm just giving you a hard time. For those of you out there, Adam is definitely, for himself, more into lifting. And, of course, he's not currently conscious prepping right now. So, no. You know, he does his thing, and he knows what he's doing. And you're getting a lot of brain cardio. I know that because you're doing everybody's plans and everything like that, all this thinking. So, yeah, it's just the same thing, right?
we'll call it that.
Brain cardio. There we go.
So with cardio today, I think it's really cool that we're going to go into it. Like, I think we go into all the pros and cons of it. And also like, are you doing too much? Are you doing too little? That would be me. Where's that like best point for contest prep and what people are doing? So what's your take on like what the current trends are in cardio? Ashley, you have any insight for that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think now people are smarter and they realize they don't need to do like hours and hours of cardio a day to achieve their goals. And I think that the HIIT trend is definitely, it's definitely picking up some traction these days. And it definitely has its benefits. It takes less time and it can be more effective with weight loss, you know. And, you know, me personally, I will say I like to do HIIT as well. And I do like to mix up some sessions, which we'll go into later during this podcast. But yeah, I have some pretty unique cardio sessions myself, but you know, something, I love cardio, and I know that's crazy, but I love cardio in the morning, especially because it's like I love to get it out of the way and it's super invigorating and refreshing and it just wakes me up. And most importantly, I think cardio, especially in the morning, like sets the tone for the entire day. It does, because it's like if I killed my cardio in the morning, it's like I'm so much more motivated and just more willing to eat super clean, super healthy, and stay on track as much as possible.
Yeah, you know what? As much as I hate cardio, like for doing it myself, I really feel great doing it. And like, and I joke like how much I actually do cardio. I do like, it's funny, is I think it's good for people like in the off season to have fun with cardio and like maybe get outdoors and do it. And that's something that you really like to do, or just like do something fun, like join a class and whatnot. If you're not in prep, you know, and, I take like a kickboxing class, which is like just like a health and fitness kickboxing class, not like a tough guy tip kickboxing class. But it's just fun for me to like do it that way.
Oh, so, I didn't even know that about you. Wow.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Yeah. Sam, actually, she's prepping with it, which is crazy because she like really enjoys doing things like that. She'll take either like a cycling class or she'll do, and now she's doing 2 kickboxing classes a week plus her regular cardio. So, you know, you can add things in there too to like make it more fun. And there's a lot of different ways of going about cardio. So you can do a mixed steady state cardio with HIIT. And the only time I really do that is like a mixed steady state with HIIT for people is like if they work a job where they're on their feet all the time, like a nurse who's working 12 hours, 14 hour shifts. We'll just count their steps on the days that they work and then also do cardio on the other days. Mm-hmm. And then for someone like Sam, she's getting ready for Columbia to try to get her pro card. She's doing 2 kickboxing classes and then like 3 HIIT sessions right now a week. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways of mixing it up and like making it more fun. Does it have to be so dreaded? You know, like people dread cardio.
Yes, I know that, you know, that really is a thing. It's kind of like this mindset. And I think that comes from doing cardio that you don't enjoy. So if you have like just a treadmill laying around the gym, you know, that's what you do all the time, every day, you know, it gets boring. And I can totally see that. But I'm definitely like all for like finding that cardio that you love and just like mixing it up too. You can mix it up with the, even the equipment in your gym, if you have a variety. You know what I like to do is like, sometimes if I have like, let's say a 30 minute cardio that day, if I'm like really bored on that machine for some reason, I'll do 10 minutes on this machine, 10 minutes on that machine, and then 10 minutes on that machine. And it just, for me, it's like way more interesting and it keeps up like the intensity because I'm like, yeah, this is like not boring. I'm switching it up, you know?
And I think that, like you touched on intensity, it's like that's the biggest factor in cardio that people don't really discuss, you know? So with HIIT cardio is highly effective. So what HIIT cardio is, for those who you don't know, HIIT cardio stands for high intensity interval training. So it's HIIT. And the other form of cardio that people do is called LISS, which is low intensity steady state. But there's also MIST cardio, which people don't even talk about, which is medium intensity. Yeah. So there's a lot of options.
I didn't know about that one.
You know, yeah, it's MIST cardio. Oh, wow. So there's that option too. You know, you don't have to go so slow when you're doing LISS cardio. You can do it for, you could do it the other way. So the main differences between like HIIT and LISS is HIIT is done for a lot shorter durations than LISS. But the true difference between HIIT and LISS and why HIIT is so much more effective is that when you do HIIT cardio, there's this thing that happens after you do like anything in really intensely. So even your workouts, when they're real intense, you're going to get some of this benefit, but it's called, I've talked about it many times before, but it's called EPOC, which stands for excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. And what that is basically a slight elevation in your metabolic rate for a period of time after your workout, generally marked in a 24-hour period. So because your workout was so intense with HIIT, your body's consuming more oxygen to help recover, and that is going to raise your metabolic rate. Now with LISS cardio, because it's not intense at all and it doesn't require any recovery for it, you don't have an increase of metabolic rate. So if you're comparing LISS cardio versus HIIT cardio, LISS cardio will be better for losing body fat during the session because you're moving at a lower rate and you're able to basically oxidize fat easier and use it as energy. And HIIT, you're moving so fast, it's really hard for your body to use fat source as an energy source by doing something so intense. So it uses basically kind of like working out so intense, you can't really use fat like during the set. So that's kind of like the differences between the two. One of the things to take into account with LISS cardio is that when you do LISS cardio, because there's no metabolic like effect in terms of you getting a higher metabolic rate after the session, it really is the equivalent of you eating less. So if you're doing LISS cardio for an hour and you burn 350 calories, that's the exact equivalent of you eating 350 calories less. So for me, I'd rather give someone that hour back on their day and just like, hey, here's another hour, and have them eat 350 calories less, since it's the same thing. So I don't see much point in doing LISS cardio unless it's for a reason like you do it, which is your legs get a little thick when you're working out a lot of the time doing HIIT, and we have to keep your legs in check by doing basically running off muscle. So there you go. There's a kind of an in-depth of those two. Of what are your thoughts on any of that, Ash?
You know, just like you said, I am one of those rare people that I do LISS and I enjoy it, you know, but I also mix it up. So most of the time I'll do HIIT, and then you know what? I always have that one intense cardio day per week that's intense. Like I dedicate the day just to cardio. So on that intense cardio day, it might be something like a 10K race, or it might be 45 minutes at the Santa Monica Stairs, something like that. And I really enjoy doing that. But, you know, trying to explain that to people is tough because it's, you know, those are my cardio things that I do. That's not going to work for everyone, you know, especially for those that are really trying to build muscle in their legs. Maybe they shouldn't be running a 10K race, you know, but for me, I found that my body reacts really well to it. you know, it keeps my legs a little thinner, which, in if you guys follow along, you guys know that one of my issues is sometimes my bottom half can be a little bit bigger than my top. So that kind of like attempt to even it out a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, you see somebody talk about it and doesn't mean that's always going to work for you. So it's always best to get like a customized cardio plan to best fit your goals.
Yeah, I think you got that right. Now, the next question that we had come up was, what is best for your goals? So I think mm-hmm. we kind of covered that.
Yes.
You know, so just to like reiterate, you know, if you're in a contest prep, what happens a lot of times in the contest prep is you're adapting towards the end of prep. And, you know, a lot of times it becomes harder to lose that last little bit of fat. So mm-hmm. in that scenario, you know, you run into a lot of people who are doing like hours of cardio a day to kind of offset their adaptions. And that's what you'll see a lot of people recommend. So you'll hear, oh, just do more cardio. And then you literally mm-hmm. have doing like 3 hours. I've seen people do up to 3 hours of cardio a day. There was I saw one girl at junior nationals, I think it was last year, and she actually did 4 hours. And I was like, what are you doing in your life?
What the heck?
Well, you can just do 4 hours. Crazy town.
So, I would be so bored.
It's you're watching like a whole series on Netflix like every day. In that.
Oh, geez.
So it's, you know, that's, you hear about it, you know, I knew it, but it's not too uncommon to even hear 3 hours. 2 hours is like almost normal at this point to hear about. So when you're, just remember, like when you're doing these things, the reason for it, because and how it actually works. So when you do a lot of endurance based activities, you're going to build an endurance like physique. And that's what people mm-hmm. always forget. And, a lot of times I think what happens is, especially like, you know, our audience is mainly bikini. There's some men's physique guys too. But when you have like a bikini competitor doing a show and they're coached by, let's say, like an old school bodybuilder, what mm-hmm. happens a lot of times, this is, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions with cardio and why it is what it is out there in the industry right now. You have like bodybuilders using bodybuilding methods in cardio on bikini competitors because they don't know any different.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to like get a bikini competitor nowadays, which has changed quite a bit, they're more bubbly, they have more muscle, they're symmetrical from all angles. It's really hard to train them like a bodybuilder does cardio, because the truth of the matter is, you know, bodybuilders take different things that bikini girls don't take. And because of that, they're able to maintain their muscle a lot easier than a bikini competitor who's maybe just fully natural. So when you have that scenario to offset things, yeah, you can get away with doing a lot more cardio. But when you have a bikini competitor who's, you know, who's natural or not taking anything, like she's doing cardio, she's doing endurance-based sports. That means that if you're doing endurance-based things for a long period of time, you're going to build an endurance-based physique. So if you look at like marathon runners and how they don't have a lot of muscle and they have kind of flat butts, that's going to mm-hmm. happen if you're doing 2 hours of cardio a day. That is going to happen. There's no way around it. Now, mm-hmm. with bodybuilders, we kind of went over, you know, it doesn't happen to them because they're taking so many different things. So that's something that I think people don't realize is when that comes into play, and they're like, why did my glutes get flat during prep? Well, that's why your glutes got flat during prep. So, you know, keeping your muscle is definitely the argument is there for HIIT. Now, if you have to lose muscle or get more symmetrical, then the argument is there for LISS, like what we talked about with Ashley. Now, mm-hmm. in terms of calories, you know, burned and your intensity. Now that's another issue too. So let's say you have someone who hasn't been doing any cardio and couldn't handle the intensity of HIIT that it requires for you to get the benefits of it. Well, in that scenario, maybe miss cardio would be better, or you're doing like medium intensity steady state. So where it's like mm-hmm. a light jog, but not anything too crazy. So like in the scenario of starting prep, there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. So kind of that would be your dictating factor on what the best method would be for you. Can you do HIIT cardio hard enough to get the benefit? If not, then yeah, maybe miss cardio would be better. I don't really ever see the argument for LISS cardio being better unless it's a scenario like you have to lose muscle though. So,
So I have a question for you, Adam. Now, when we're talking about like which type of cardio is best for you, do you have a certain piece of equipment that you like to do or have your athletes do. I know for me, I love the step, the step mill, I think is what it's called. You know, it's basically like you're going on a never ending escalator type thing. But you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure the exact name of it. But anyway, that's my favorite. And I love doing that one because I can really, I almost get sort of like a glute pump and a leg pump out of it as well. And I can also do like kickbacks on it. And it's really, really good too, because I don't like feel like I'm overusing any body parts. Like there's minimal, pressure, I guess you would say, on my joints and stuff like that. So it's like less likely that I would get any kind of injury from that, from overdoing it, which I haven't, but I'm just saying, like, I think for people that are like monitoring an injury too, like I had that knee injury and I was doing the step mill to train, and it was really helpful because my knee wasn't affected at all. But if I were to run, it would kind of hurt a little bit.
So with, so to answer that question, absolutely I do. The thing about cardio is, so the less stable that you are, the more calories that you'll burn. So now with running is going to be the least stable that you're going to be, because you're literally not holding on to anything, you know?
Right.
So with stairs, you know, you can make that super, super stable if you put your elbows and lean on it, or you can make it unstable and have no hands on it at all, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be a depending factor on that. Now, one of the cool things that you talked about was, you know, you squeezing your glutes on it and doing kickups, or kickbacks. I think that that's really beneficial in terms of, you know, getting your body like stronger neuromuscularly, where you're able to contract more and really get your muscle primed before you go into your workout and get the nervous system like really primed, so you can actually contract your best way when you're lifting. And that's one thing that's like people don't put enough focus on. Mm-hmm. And actually I was in, what's funny is, especially like in Europe, you know, I've kind of come to the finding that out. I was at that workshop in Europe on Saturday in the UK, and all the girls in the class, not all the girls, but most of the girls in the class were all about heavy, heavy load. You know, they're all like, I just want to lift heavy, do glute bridges with, you know, 300 plus pounds. And I was like, hey, like, just so you guys know, like the best, like some of the best girls in the world don't lift super, super heavy. Like Ashley squeezes the muscle. And Frida, she says, I make lightweight feel heavy by squeezing hard and whatnot. And I think that that's so underestimated. So I think that in a scenario where you're doing kickbacks on a stair mill, it makes a lot of sense. The only problem with the stair mill in general is, for someone who's like really advanced, it's really hard to get a proper hit out of it, because a proper hit is, if we go into a proper hit, what it is, a proper hit is basically you failing, like for the same way you'd fail if you were doing, like let's say you're doing squats and you're doing 12 reps and you can't do 13, 14 reps, like you actually are failing at 12 or you couldn't do any more. A hit is the same thing. You'll do cardio so hard where you couldn't go on any farther unless you were to fall, basically, you know, keeping it safe to some degree. And that's what people don't fully understand. So like with stairs, it's not very doable for most people to get to that point. So it doesn't give you like the same benefit as like the curved treadmill, like on resistance would, or a sled would. So
for I don't know, man, I put it on 20 and I'm like, if I do that for a few minutes and then alternate to, you know, a lesser level, like, yeah, I'll be like gasping for air, like holy crap, I can get it. I mean, I guess it depends on the machine too, because I know some of them are older machines and can't get to that speed, but I can get it up pretty high on the one at my gym.
Yeah, that's actually the exact thing it comes down to. Like if you look at the newer Matrix machines, those ones can go pretty damn fast. And then if you look at like the older Stairmaster ones, like we have these Stairmasters by my house at the 24. And they're like, I don't know why they're so slow, but literally like it feels like you're going on like level 10 when it says level 20, and there's just no way to get the hit out of it. So, so I guess that would be one of the main factors, honestly. Now the best methods I think for hit cardio is going to be, unless you have really heavy quads for bikini, I love the sled. I love the curved treadmill with slight resistance or with no resistance. Those are like my favorite too. And then it would be like the stairs. And then honestly, if you don't have heavy quads, the bike is really good. Like a stationary bike with resistance. That's a good one.
hate that bike. I hate the bike. It's so boring for me. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, we're all different. We all have preferences. And I agree with you. I love that curved treadmill too. When I get closer to a show, I'll start doing more of that as well. That's a great, great machine. And, you know, I find that that's super, super, super effective. I love that one. There's also another one that kind of replicates like skiing in a way, I think, like where you go side to side to side to side. It's like you're doing a ski or something, or like almost like a roller skating where you have to shift your hips to the left and to the right and to the left in a way. It's so awesome. That one's good too. I'm not sure what that's called, but it's good.
There's one, it might even be called the skier if that's the one. But there's, you know, a lot of times people will do like the elliptical too. And I don't think that the elliptical is super effective. I don't think you can really get a great hit out of it. If you turn up the resistance and you really push yourself, yeah. But when I see people doing a hit on the elliptical, I really don't see it too often where someone's pushing themselves that hard. But, you know, another thing you can do too is you can always do like plyos too. That's a good one, especially if you're like in a hotel and you can't get to a gym. Like there's like, you know, sequences of plyos you can do to get you in shape or get you to do a hit. So that's another good option while traveling. Now, one of the things that people really like to do that I've run into is they'll go to their neighborhood and they'll find like a small hill, not a big hill, but a small hill. And with that hill, they'll run up and then walk down and then like run up full speed and walk down. There's a really, there's a hill by my house. We call the Triple Ninja, which I've actually never taken you to the Triple Ninja.
Yeah, I was about to say, what the heck? You didn't even tell me about this.
I used to do the Triple Ninja. Julia used to do a lot of her preps. She might even still do them there. She's a pro bikini competitor at the Triple Ninja. And basically there's three different like really aggressive inclines on this hill. One's like really modest and you run full speed and then you like walk back, and then one's like more medium, and then one's like almost like a really steep, like super aggressive, like rock climbing. You have to be like careful to do it. And so that's like the triple. And then you do one triple and then you just do however many triples you have to for time. It's kind of fun. It really mixes things up. So there's that option too. So like you run up, walk down, run up, walk down, that type of thing. Slight inclines is great. So anyway, that's just my take on having fun. I think having fun with cardio is like the only, like one of the, such an important factor, you know, because it sucks so bad. It just sucks so bad if you don't, you know, it's just like.
Exactly. It really makes a difference if you enjoy what you do. But with that being said, let's talk about some of the cardio mistakes. And I see people make mistakes with cardio all the time. I mean, I don't even have to try hard to see it. You go into the gym and people are really taking advantage of like the like holding on thing. It's one thing to hold on for balance, but another thing to literally like prop yourself up on top of the machine to where the machine's doing the work. And I'll give you an example for the step mill, like we were talking about earlier. You know, you can hang on if you need that balance. I prefer not to hang on, but you know what? If I'm doing something fast, and I might want to hang on just for balance. But then there's some people that like prop themselves up on top of it where they're like basically using their arms to like lift them. And then it's like they're getting very minimal actual movement from their own body because it's like machine and their arms are doing the work. So it's kind of like, I hate seeing that. It's like better just to do it the right way for less time and you'll get better results than wasting your time. Because you know what, when you're doing things like that, you're only cheating yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, your weight is one of the bigger factors in you getting the most benefit out of it. So you doing cardio at like Ashley at like 125 pounds versus Ashley doing cardio at 85 pounds because she's leaning on something is a totally different response, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and because you're more stable, you're burning less calories because you're in more of a stabilized environment. So, so just make sure to really don't cheat yourself with cardio. Don't just get through it and like say you did it. I don't know. Like it's better for you to do 20% less cardio and do it at 100% of your weight than doing, you know, 40% less of your weight at 100% of your duration, you know? So.
Yes. And another thing I see too is that people will, you know what, people will go by the counter on the cardio equipment and think that that's how many calories they burnt, but it's just like the standard setup of it, right? So whenever it says, oh yeah, you burnt 200 calories, I mean, unless you have like a device where you're putting your heart rate onto it, like that's just like taking into account like the average person in America doing it at that rate. And most of us are way more in shape than that. So we're not actually burning as many calories as it's saying. And on top of it, like some of the machines are older and I feel like maybe they've gotten slower over the years, but the tracking on it is inaccurate because it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but like you were saying, like the level 20 does not feel like an actual level 20 on some machines, but it'll still show that you're burning all these calories, even though you have suspicion, like that is not as fast as the other level 20 at this other gym. You know what I'm saying? And I think that can be very deceiving as well. So I would suggest not to follow those and don't get that in your head. And, you know, just like when you're tracking your calories and stuff, if you're really trying to track your cardio in that sense, that can really throw it off.
Yeah, that would totally throw it off. It's going to vary a lot machine to machine too. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that people don't really understand about that cardio, like calorie setting, is that calorie setting is based like, it's based on extreme averages. So it's like based on like body mass index and different things like that, your age, your weight, whatever. And so it gives you a good rule of thumb, but it's not anything accurate based on like your adaptions and how you're doing cardio now. So I like to give this example to people. Like when you were a little kid learning to walk for the very first time, and actually this is going to go into our next question. Being too good at cardio is the next thing we're talking about. But so when you were a little kid learning how to walk and you were really unbalanced and you were falling over all the time. And, you know, when you're trying to figure it out, you know, you're burning a lot more calories. Like when you're first trying to learn how to ride a bike and you're all wobbly and whatnot, and you're unstable, you're burning a lot more calories because you're constantly stabilizing. And, when you start walking like regular and it becomes a regular thing for you, well, you're becoming more efficient and you're burning less calories now because you're hyper efficient at doing the same movement pattern. So when you become, and this goes into our becoming too good at cardio, when you basically start getting good at cardio and you're able to do excessive amounts, you're going to burn less calories. So that machine doesn't take that into as a varying factor. So for example, if you took me right now to do running, which I don't do any running right now, and you took a marathon runner to do running, we put them on the treadmill, it would say the exact same amount of calories were burned. But I guarantee you the marathon runner burns way less than I do because they're highly efficient at that movement pattern. And I am still basically relearning and starting to be good at it again. So I'm going to burn way less calories or way more calories. So so that's why those things don't really take into account. I would never really pay attention to those. And that's one thing that kind of Ashley said. So I guess that goes into our, that's going to go into our becoming too good at cardio and how you So what's your take on that, Ash?
Well, you know, I'm an avid cardio partaker, and I'm pretty good at cardio. So just like you said, in the comparison to like a marathon runner, I'm pretty efficient at doing what I do because I do it all the time and I love it, which means that in order for me to get that same calorie burn as I used to, let's say 2 years ago when I wasn't quite as good at cardio as I am now, I'm going to have to do more, or I'm going to have to increase the intensity, go longer, or just switch it up. Because again, it sounds crazy, but in this sport, you can actually become too good at cardio, and it's not for, for weight loss, maybe not the most ideal thing. Because we are in a sport for aesthetics and not performance. So it's not like I'm doing cardio to get an awesome time in a half marathon or anything like that. I'm doing cardio to burn calories. And, you know, so once I'm doing this for so often and I'm getting better at it, just like your body adapts to diet, your body can adapt to cardio. So that's why you got to switch it up, increase the intensity so that you're burning the same amount of calories you used to burn when you were first starting out doing cardio or more.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So, and that's one of the things that people need to understand to do that in the off season too. Now, we want you to never be too good at any of these things, because that's how, so what bodybuilding is you create a stimulus and then you adapt to that stimulus. And when you adapt to that stimulus, you create a new stimulus. And that's really what bodybuilding is. And everywhere in between the adaption of that stimulus is results. So you create a stimulus, you get results, you adapt. Same thing, you repeat and you repeat and you repeat. So with cardio, that's part of it too, you know? So the goal is that, you know, if you keep progressing, eventually you're going to run out of the ability to create a stimulus because you're going to be doing so much cardio that you just can't do anymore and you can't create a stimulus through it anymore. So in your off season, that's the time that you have to basically reduce your cardio and to, you know, get your cardio to be as low as possible without you gaining a significant amount of body fat. So that way, when you start your prep again, you can create a new stimulus again. But if you're off season, you're doing, let's say, 40 minutes of cardio every day, and then you're like, okay, I'm ready to start prepping for a show now. Well, your coach has no real options because you're already used to doing 40 minutes of cardio every day. So the only option is like, okay, let's go to 45 minutes. And now you're already maxed out. That's where I max people out, is basically 45 minutes. I don't like them doing more than that. So, that's what you want to do in the off season, really focus on not being too good at it. So one of the ways that you can not be too good at it is basically you try to mix it up. Like Ashley was saying, where she does different forms of cardio, so she's not adapting as quickly. She increases the intensity. So there's a principle called the FIT principle. It's not spelled correctly, just like HIT's not spelled correctly, but the FIT principle goes frequency, intensity, time, and type. So it's FITT. And so those are kind of the things that you switch up throughout your prep. So you change your frequency up, you change your intensity up, you change the type of cardio you're doing, you change the time of cardio you're doing. So that's one thing that if you're getting stuck, try one of those things and you should usually be able to break through the next barrier. So, so there you go.
See, that could also solve the problem of some people plateauing and wondering why they're plateauing, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's just kind of all these little things together. And it's so similar to dieting. If you diet too hard, too long, you're going to get adapted to it. It becomes harder and harder each time. You have to lower the calories. Well, same thing with cardio. Now you got to make it more intense, got to go longer, switch it up, whatever it may be. But it's very similar in that sense.
Yeah, it's always that like equation, right? That like perfect balancing of not going too hard and still getting results. And like, it's just, there's a perfect balance that it has to be at to continue to make progress all the way through a prep. So I love it. I think it's a fun challenge. Like every time it's just always so fun to see what works for someone who doesn't work for another one. You know, I'm prepping a pro right now for a show, and she has, she's doing zero cardio right now. It's crazy, you know, but it's still working. Yeah, I know. Lucky girl. So, so it's like, it's so crazy that it's so different from per person, you know? So, all right. So let's look at, you know, we talked about alternative types of cardio a little bit. Do you have any other ones that I didn't mention maybe?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I do my thing with the stairs. I do 10K races. I'll say this. If you guys have never entered a race, like try it. It's so fun. They happen all around. Probably more so when it gets a little bit warmer, but they are so fun. It's a great experience. And don't ever feel like you don't think you're good enough to partake in this race. Like people do it just for people. Some people just walk the whole thing. Don't be afraid. A lot of times it's for charity, which is also nice as well. But for me, I really enjoy doing it because it's a switch up. And it's kind of like one of those things I don't really realize I'm doing cardio as hard as I am because I'm in the mix with all these people. They're also busting their butts. It's like an adrenaline rush. I'm a little bit of a competitive person. So it's kind of like it really pushes me a lot harder than if I were just by myself running on a treadmill. It's like a great experience. So I highly encourage you guys, if you can, get out and try at least one of them. It doesn't even have to be a 10K race. It can be a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. And then a 10K, for those of you who don't know, is 6.2 miles. So, you know, I love doing that. And I love doing the Santa Monica stairs. And when I'm with you, Adam, you know, I love to do the amphitheater stairs. I've had some crazy, awesome workouts there. And it's just nice to get out and try something different. Having fun cardio is the best. You don't even realize how much time is passing by when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're doing like, there's also like date night cardio right now, you can go outdoors and go ice skating for an hour, you know, you know, I've done that before. That's pretty fun. So now it's going into the next topic, which is one of the more heated ones, which is like fasted cardio versus non-fasted.
So controversial.
Yeah. Right. So if you've listened to, I've done a whole bunch of things on this and fasted cardio versus non-fasted cardio. So we won't dive into it too much, but the reality is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference whether you're fasted or fed. So if you want to do cardio and you're like, I just love, like, and honestly, the reality is with people, when they're doing their fasted cardio and they're like, oh, I just like it better that way. That's great. Do it that way. But a lot of the people, not you, Ashley, but a lot of the people mm-hmm. who like doing the fasted cardio, it's so funny because I'll get people who will be like, well, why isn't fasted cardio better? And I'll explain to them why fasted cardio, it's never been proven to be better. That's the thing. They've been like, there's basically like two relative studies on it. And both of them have shown that really just do your cardio. It doesn't matter when you do it, just do it. And it works the same basically. And if there is an advantage, it's so slight that it's not even worth like, it's not even worth the effort of doing anything else. So the funny thing is I have a lot of people who like started doing fasted cardio or they were used to doing it for like 3-4 years. And so they'll be like, oh, I'm just going to do it because I like it better now. And I'm like, you're doing it because you don't buy into the concept that it doesn't matter, but that's fine. It doesn't change anything whether you do it that way or not. So I say do whatever is you like best. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to do it fasted, do it fasted. If you want to do it fed, do it fed. It makes no difference. So just do whatever's best for you for that. That's what I'd say.
Yes, I totally agree. I love your take on that. And it's really important for people to hear that because they're so like, you know, it can be very dreadful to be already hungry and that you wake up because you're hungry and then you have to do fasted cardio. You know, that can be really like, it can hold people back from wanting to do cardio and make it a lot more miserable than it is. And I will say that most of the time I like to do fasted cardio because I'm not hungry yet. So you guys know I don't like force feed myself. Like if I'm not hungry at that time, I'm not going to eat. So a lot of times I can wake up and I'm not even hungry yet. I just want to be like, yeah, I want to do cardio. But sometimes I wake up because I'm hungry, like way too early. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm starving. I got to eat. And then I'll have food and then I'll do cardio. So it's kind of like a day by day basis, just how I feel that day. But you know, regardless, I'm getting a good workout and it doesn't really make a difference. Like you said, it's just a matter of like, you know, making myself comfortable. If I'm, you know, already hungry, it's kind of miserable to do cardio. So.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, Ashley's sleeping patterns will kind of dictate that. She's got the craziest sleeping patterns. She'll like,
I'm such a morning person.
She's like, she like sleeps, like sometimes wakes up at like 3 a.m. when she goes to bed at like 9 or 10. And then sometimes she'll go like one out of nowhere. One day she'll go to bed at like 9 and wake up like at 8. And it's like the craziest sleeping patterns I've ever seen.
Most of the time it's really early. Yeah. I mean, rarely is it 8. I can't even remember the last time it was 8 o'clock a.m. But yeah, I'm one of those people. It's like, wake up at like 4 a.m. without an alarm kind of person most of the time. But you know something? There's like actually a gene that's like you require less sleep. I think I have it. Like I can totally function 100% fine on 4 hours. Like I'm good. Like yeah. I feel like I have that gene. I really think I do. It's crazy, but yeah.
What's funny is that like you've been that concept, like you started talking about that concept like a year and a half ago, and as the years progressed, you've been like more convinced that you have it. Like,
yes, I think I do.
And you're like, oh no, I definitely have it. it justifies your sleeping. It's so funny. So
whatever makes me feel better.
Exactly. Okay, so the next one is, will cardio kill your gains? You want
to? RIP to the gains. RIP gains.
So what we talked about earlier with you know, bodybuilder style preps for bikini, I think absolutely it'll kill your gains. Now, remember, like for those of you who are saying, oh, no, it doesn't, just remember like who you're talking about, okay? Because if you're talking about, you know, bodybuilders, like the best bodybuilders in the world, you just got to remember that if they're taking different things, it's going to cause them to not lose muscle. Now, if you're a regular bikini competitor, you're not doing that. And yeah, we're doing it to lose muscle. So for the example, we talk about it pretty openly. Ashley does cardio to lose muscle sometimes because she builds legs get pretty muscular very quickly, mainly due to all of her previous years in track and gymnastics. Her body just responds really well. So with that, she's got a disproportionate, I guess, like ability to build muscle in her lower body than her upper body. It just comes faster. So she has to do cardio to do that. So just think about that for a minute. If someone like Ashley has to do cardio to lose muscle and she builds muscle so easily, like, what is it causing someone who doesn't build muscle so easily? How much muscle is it costing them? And the answer to that is quite a bit. It's noticeable. And a lot of times it's hard to notice that you're losing muscle, like in a prep, because you're losing so much weight and you're losing so much everything that everything looks smaller and just kind of like, oh, I'm just getting smaller. But the reality is like a lot of times it's costing you the wrong types of things. And in today's bikini market, it's like unforgiving. So a few years ago, you know, we used to have a totally different bikini market. You know, if you look at like the girls who were doing really well at bikini contests, you know, they were a lot more petite, like, I wouldn't say petite structure, but they're a lot more, how much muscle they had was like less, you know, it was less amount of muscle. The glutes weren't as filled out. Their tie-ins weren't anywhere near where they're at nowadays. And so for you to be good in bikini now, you really need a full physique. You got to be full on stage. Conditioning requirements are still really, really hard in terms of like how lean you have to be. I would say it's not as lean as it was a couple years ago, but the fullness, because the fullness is so much more now. And you just don't have any room to lose muscle anymore like you did before. Before, you could kind of just be lean and have a little bit of bubbliness and do quite well. But now it's like you need to be filled, your frame needs to be filled out. You need to be really lean. You need to be very symmetrical. And there's just no room, margin of error for a lot of people doing steady state cardio for hours and hours anymore like there used to be. So I don't know if you agree with that, Ashley.
I totally agree. I agree with everything you say. It's all dependent on that person, what their goals are, what their genetics is like. And, you know, just like that perfect comparison that you had made, look at a marathoner, look at a sprinter, and see the difference in the body types. So I think that plays true. And, you know, you definitely, people can get a little carried away with the cardio, and it shows. And, you know, I know it's fun, guys. I know it's so fun. But watch out for that list is all I can say if you're having a hard time with the building muscle.
Yeah. So I think with that being said, you know, it's no secret now. The list came out for the Arnold. Ashley is going to be preparing for the Arnold. So what does it look like for a top 10 in the world bikini pro doing cardio, getting ready for, you know, I guess you can't even really say this is the second biggest show really these days, because everyone who is in the biggest show is in this show too. Like the
top. Dang it. Stop competing, guys. Please, come on.
Literally four of the top six. I don't know how many of the top 10 is competing, but four of the top six are the reigning champ, and Angelica, who's won two Miss Bikini Olympics. You have three Miss Olympias in the current show. Yeah, so it's, I mean, if you want to say you could say it's the second biggest show, but really, I mean, it's tied, I would say, because the athletes that are there, they're the same ones that are winning. So it's really, really deep. So what do you do for your cardio right now in preparation for the show, Ash?
So right now I'm doing my 5 days of cardio. Four of those days will be HIIT, and one will be that intense cardio day, which will be like the stairs or my 10K race. And, you know, I think once I meet with Coach Adam, I'm going to get some pretty intense lifting sessions. So one of my things is, and it's not the best habit to have, but it's hard for me to go intense with the lifting when I'm by myself. I don't know if it's just, I've always been spoiled with a coach that guides me, or if it's like, I want somebody to spot me or a cheerleader to encourage me. I'm not sure what it is, but when I'm by myself, it's hard for me to lift heavy and intense. So right now, since I'm here in LA by myself, I'm doing some awesome cardio, because cardio is one of those things that I can go super intense by myself. But, I think I don't see too much more cardio being added onto my regimen as the time goes on, but I do see way more intense lifts as time progresses closer to the show. And I also see maybe some diet changes as well. But, you know, obviously my cardio will be tweaked a little bit, whether it be the duration or the types of cardio I do. And that is all up to Coach Adam. But he'll make that decision whenever, you know, I send him weekly updates, and I sent him one today too. So we'll see what he says.
So with that being said, actually what's funny, I didn't even tell you because we're doing it during the podcast. I put it on Instagram, like, do you guys have any questions on Instagram for us to finish up the podcast? And I got a couple. Not sure if you had any other people that were asking you questions, Ashley. Did you?
I have not checked because I'm on the podcast thing on here, so I can't even exit it.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if you had any other ones, like any friends or any of the followers ask you any questions about cardio. So I'm going to answer the questions that you had about cardio or that I got about cardio during the podcast, which is a few. And one of them was, you know, why do you do cardio after you work out? And so that was one of the ones. And I have a lot of my people do cardio after they work out. And part of the reason for that really is that it's really based on like energy that we're putting forth towards the workout, not really it being superior to do cardio after. So I say do your cardio whenever. I don't like people doing 2-a-day cardio sessions. And the reason is because that sounds fun when you're in the zone, like you're in the zone doing cardio. You're just like, this is great. I want to do this prep. I'm going to do 2-a-days. I'm going to work out in the morning, then work out at night. But for most people who work a regular job, it becomes kind of a mundane task and like really hard for them to stick with it. And that's why I want people doing their cardio after they work out, because I want them to do it in one session. That way they're not driving to the gym for 30 minutes, you know, or whatever it is. Like, let's say it's 15 minutes to the gym. You get ready for your cardio. You do cardio for 40 minutes. You take a shower, 15 minutes back. You're talking about 2 extra hours on top of that you could have just done in one session. And there's no benefit to doing cardio split. There's no benefit to do cardio fasted. So the reason is just because I want people to enjoy prep, and I want prep to be as realistic for someone as it can be and as normal to their life as it can be. That way they can maintain the results. I always say, if you can sustain the type of prep it took to get your results, then you can sustain the results. If you can't sustain, or an unsustainable method means unsustainable results. So if you can, you know, learn this as like a practice of your daily activity and not require to do all this extra cardio, like split sessions, then I think that's the way to do it. So, and that's why, you know, the post-show rebound, I'm so big about that. So, and that's the first thing that goes with people. Like, you'll never hear someone say, oh, after the show, I just didn't want to work out with weights anymore. It's like, after the show, I don't want to do cardio anymore ever again, you know, because they're doing so much. And then that's what one of the bigger causes for them to have this post show, like weight gain, you know? So that was one of the questions. Do you have any input on that, Ashley?
Yeah. So I think that's great that you make that known, that it doesn't matter the order of cardio really. And you know, that does save a lot of time when people go to the gym only once instead of a few times throughout the day. I'm a weird person. I like to separate it though. I do like to do cardio first in the morning because I have like a routine, you know. I walk to the gym, which is a few blocks away. I do it in the morning. I come home and I shower. I do my makeup, do my hair, get ready for the day. And then I'll lift in the afternoon. And I think that has to do with being sweaty. You know, I don't want to be sweaty with makeup. I can't sweat with makeup on. I don't, my poor pores, you know what I'm saying? I just can't. So I do it like, you know, I do cardio in the morning in my pajamas for the most part. But, you know, I think it's kind of like just a routine and what I'm used to. And I enjoy the separate walks to the gym because I don't know. I'm like one of those people that I get fidgety and I like to walk. I like to do that. But I know my lifestyle is much different from other people. I don't have a 9-to-5 job. So it's kind of like I have the freedom to do that. But it's very beneficial just for those people that don't have that luxury.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's like a definitely deciding factor. Like if you're, you know, you have so much free time, then yeah, maybe there is an argument that if you did do a split cardio session that, and you had all of your energy for the first cardio session and you had time to recover and do all of your energy for your workout, there is that argument that, yeah, maybe it could be a little bit better. But for the most part, I don't think there's a giant benefit to it. So I would say not to. I didn't really get, actually, the other question I had, we kind of already answered. And do you have any other things that you really, that pop up for you with cardio, question wise?
No, I think we covered a lot, and I'm not sure on the questions because I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Okay. So I guess with that, is that are we done for the day?
I think so, until next time. And I'm really excited because Adam is coming to LA for Christmas. He's visiting his mommy and he's stopping by to train me first. So I'm going to be so freaking sore and I can't wait. Like I'm telling you guys, when I train with Coach Adam, it is so much more intense than when I do it. I like go all out, and I'm one of those weird people. I love the feeling of being sore and being like I gave everything. I can't wait. So only less than a week, and yeah, you'll be training with me. So
I'll be there. It's one of those things I think people underestimate. And for you guys like listening too, I've talked about it before, but one of the things that's like so important for your workouts that your coach like won't see is like how intense you're actually training. So make sure you're doing all the things necessary. You're getting your sleep. You're actually like focused when you're in the gym. You know, honestly, a lot of times you should be off your phone because it's a pretty big distraction to a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
I was at this like super hardcore gym in the UK yesterday morning I was there. And there's like everyone there is like super focused, super hardcore. The vibe was awesome. There was like one guy like wasn't in good shape, and he was like on his phone like the whole workout. And I'm like, bro, like that's why. Look at this environment, man. Just embrace the environment. Let it motivate you and like take you through your workout, because like you can't help but be motivated in that gym. That gym's if any of you are in the UK, go to King's Gym. I travel around. Like one of my favorite things to do is travel around and go to different gyms. My favorite gym in the world was Metroflex Long Beach until I went to King's Gym. King's Gym is my new favorite gym in the world. It is so sick. Just a sick and giant environment. So find a gym that helps you with like your environment too, if that's something. But with your workouts, and then basically we talked about creating a stimulus through exercise and having an elevated metabolic rate for periods of time. Your workouts is one of the biggest components to that actual thing. So if you can have workouts hard all the time and you're creating a stimulus all the time, well then you're naturally going to have a faster metabolic rate because of that, and need less cardio too. So that's a huge factor in it. So just make sure that you are actually doing it hard. And it's a good point that you say that. It's really weird because when I'm with Ashley for like a week period, we'll visually see changes within that week, like dramatic changes. Like we probably get, if we were together for a week, we probably get like 3 weeks worth of results in that week. It's the craziest thing because we're just crushing it. And
Adam, if I like trained with you every day for 2 months straight, I might be eligible for women's bodybuilding. I'm kidding. But for real, it is crazy. The changes that we see, and I really push it because I'm, you know what I think? Honestly, this goes through my head every time we train. I'm like, Adam, he is so busy. He works so hard, and I know he has so many like obligations he has to do. I'm not trying to waste your time. Like I'm not. If I'm going to train with you, I'm going to make it so worth it. So I appreciate when you train me. It just makes all the difference.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I never take it for granted too. Like it's funny because you're like you're probably like my only like best friend, to be honest. But
what a blush.
I mean, you're the only person I talk to like every day. It's, we have a crazy relationship. So like I try to never let that. I'm always like, okay, remember, you got to take a step back. Remember who you're training and what we're training for. This isn't your friend during this time. Like this is the most winning bikini competitor in the world of all time. And we need to maintain that, you know? So it's funny that we both have our own talks to each other, to ourselves when we go into a session. So yeah. So, as far as everything else goes, guys, I just want to say thanks so much for listening to us. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have an Instagram live going right now too. So for you guys watching on Instagram live, this will be out in 2 days, the full podcast. Make sure to listen to it, Bikini and the Brain, and share it with your friends. We're always trying to give out as much free advice as we can. We're not the type that's trying to like hold secrets back. Literally, if you just listened to everything that we did, you could probably prep yourself pretty well at this point because we tell literally everything that we do. There's no secrets. And I take a lot of pride that we do that, actually. I think it's awesome for the community. I guess that's it. Ashley, anything else? Any final closings?
You know, again, guys, thank you so much for the support. It really means a lot. And Adam and I are still like really in shock by how many people, you know, listen to this podcast and get the good information, which makes me feel really good if we can help somebody out there get some good information. Because I know that there can be very conflicting information out there. But, you know, we always appreciate any help with topics, any ideas you have for the podcast. We're open to those as well. And thanks again, guys, for watching. Or listening. Yeah.
Until next time.
You can't see me.
Until next time, we'll see you soon.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.